And it's a wonderful book, Ecclesiastes. Some definite truths in there, and the folly of sometimes a very wasted life in some ways. And of course, the conclusion of it all is very illuminating. But are you there with me, chapter 3?
Amen.
Okay. Now, one person was with me. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, there you go. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their hearts, so that no man can find out the work of God maketh from the beginning to the end. If you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we go through this portion of Scripture and some thoughts on it, I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, strengthen us, that you would open up our understanding, that we would be challenged, Lord, in all areas of our life, and understand that there is a season and a time for everything. And I pray, Father, that we would be in and recognize the season that we're in and the times that we're in. And Lord God, that we would use that time to glorify you. So bless us now. Open up our ears that we may hear. Amen. Okay, well, we went through just generally time and went through the portion of Scripture. And of course, the whole point was is that there are seasons and times, and tried to make the point that you're in different seasons and times, right? We got the young folks there, and they're in a season of their life. And believe it or not, even the youngest one in your season of life, you can serve the Lord. You can. And then we have others that are in their young adult life, and a lot of times, and that you need to understand that in your time, you can serve the Lord right now in your season. And then we have those that are parents, and they're going through that, I don't know what you call it. I don't know, from anywhere from, depends on how young you got married, right? You know, some people now, they say that the average person is around 30, okay, when they got married. Most people, when they say 30, they think they're old. But there's that time that you're raising children and you're raising it, and then all of a sudden you turn around and you're 50, right? Yeah, there's that slot there. And then all of a sudden you're grandparents. and then eventually, and in that time frame, you can serve the Lord during that time frame, that season of your life. And then as we start to lose our hair, or it goes gray, and with most of us it's both, we lose it and it does go gray. A lot of times we need to understand that we can serve the Lord in that season and in that time. And then, of course, as we approach the day that we go to be with the Lord, a lot of people, maybe sometimes you get a little tired, right? And you try to use that as an excuse, but that's no excuse either. And you can serve the Lord during that last season of your life. Don Siska wrote the book, The Fourth Quarter, right? So he breaks that life down into quarters, right? I don't know. I would make it, you know, like eight. I'd divide it again, because I believe that you could even divide that up a little bit closer to your age group and everything. But I guess my point was is that You need to recognize the season that you're in and serve the Lord according to the scripture in your season. In other words, when you're in the season of raising children, it is not time to go play. Okay? Play is for another season. Now, I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't enjoy a rest now and then. But the main emphasis is on the responsibilities, men, of raising a family, nurturing your children, etc., 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 right? Providing and all the rest. Ladies, that you would be keeper at home, and you know, and it gives you all your responsibilities, does it not? Sure it does. And so recognize what season you're in and then follow the Lord in that season. And it will go well for you. And you don't have to be like me. I didn't get saved until I was debated whether I was 31 or 32. The pastor asked how many of you were saved young, and what was it, half the people knew the Lord from a childhood. You don't, I've mentioned it before, you don't know. You really don't understand what a blessing that is. And you need to take it as a blessing that you don't have to go through the ravages of a sinful life the way that many of us had to before we got saved. Because all of that does have an effect on us, on our bodies, on our mind, and other different things. And so many Christians, so-called, you know, young people, they actually seek after a life that I don't even want to think about anymore. That was rejected because of the harm and the evil that it was. And that's the power that that has in our life. Beware of it. And then we talked about all the past and the generations that went before us and their time. And their time frame. And the reason that you're here in this church is because God, through people that were faithful, brought forth the gospel unto you. And even how to interpret the scripture, what the church is, all the rest of those doctrines have been faithfully transferred to us by people that were willing to give their lives. And they gave their lives for it. And one of these days, in this Laodicean period, you may be facing that same thing. You don't know what will happen real soon. And so they were faithful to do that. And I think of the one that led me to the Lord, Pastor Boyle, and the church that he was led to the Lord. And you know, and go back, and the people that even trained me. And there was such a faithfulness. And we have to, it is our season as a church and as a body of believers, it is our season to transfer that message to the next generation. This is what season, generally speaking, we're in, even besides our other little niches, right? But as a corporate church, it is our season to faithfully do that. Because if we don't, you tell me who will, okay? Because we know that the message is being blurred and lessened and whatever word you want to use. And then we talked about the being in the here and now, in the present, right? And discussing that, and it's a grave challenge to us. It is in each section. When you're a child or a young person, there's all these entertainments to try to deviate you from thinking about the things of the Lord. They're out there. They are numerous. I am certainly glad that the only thing I had that entertained me was Bugs Bunny. Can you imagine? I can't imagine being a young person. Now, I'm going to say something, and I'm not slamming you at all. That their mental abilities are still being developed and being tempted with the things that the young people are tempted with today. And the pressure at school and other different things. Did you know, really, I'm saying this, when I went to school, we prayed. I mean, it was just part of school. I mean, I don't know how many believed it or whatever, but they did. They prayed in school. And there was other different thoughts, and the way it was designed was not the same. So all of you people that are older, You have to understand that the schooling that you went through is not the schooling that these young people are being subjected to. It is not the same. Even in 10 years difference, what is being taught in the curriculums and other different things. We talked about that. So you're in your season. Are you going to serve the Lord in your season? Or are you going to go and not follow the scripture? We have to take this very seriously. It is as a senior saint. Hey, isn't that something? Senior saint. All right. Got something to rhyme finally. As a senior saint, Tom's real good at this. You know, Pat, your pastor, I call him Tom, sorry. Pastor Klein is real good at this. He's real good. I don't know if you ever catch all them messes and different way he does that thing. I can't even think in that direction. I mean, I don't know that many words to even be able to get him to do that. Honestly, I think it's great. And he does a great job of it. And so we were talking about that, and I challenge you, are you serving the Lord in your season that you're in? And it's all in here. Really, it is, you know. It's right here. It tells you. It gives you instructions as a young person, as this middle-aged person. I've always thought middle age is a misnomer, because people that are 60, they think they're in middle age. I say, what, are you going to live to be 120? No, that isn't the way that it is. And so I'd like to go, and now we're going to talk about a little bit about the future, okay? The future. And so a time and a season will come. And I'd like to start off in John 9:4. John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And verse 4. There's a statement made. The Lord said this. Well, I can start in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, and that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh that no man can work. In our season right now for the Lord, whatever season that you're in, you can still do a work for the Lord. But in that season, it will pass. See, you young people out there, you're in the season that you can serve the Lord in your youth. And if you don't do that, you're going to turn around and it's going to be past, and you're going to be, and you won't be able to serve him anymore as a teenager, because you've lost that window of opportunity. And each one of us are that way. The time goes. I can't explain to you how quickly it seems that time is going by. And we people that are older, we say this amongst ourselves. It's like you turn around and it's years later, and you know, sometimes even decades later. And so you need to serve the Lord, because there is going to time in your season you're not going to be able to serve him anymore. But there's also coming a time that no man can work. It's going to be over. All the work is going to be done, and everything that's done for Christ is what will last. A lot of people conjecture when this is going to be. I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 24. There's other portions of Scripture that contain the same, basically the same words here. But I'd like to take you to Matthew 24. And it says, and he sat upon a Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? There's much theology that's incorrect amongst different believers, because they don't realize that they ask three different questions. And so when the Lord's explaining all this in Matthew, Luke, and Mark, and other portions of Scripture, they get which one he's trying to answer confused. And a lot of theology concerning the future has been, misapplied. And so there was these three questions, but he answers it, and he says this here, for many shall come in my name, and saying, verse 5, I am the Christ, and deceive many, and there shall be wars and rumors of wars. See that? you be not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he talks about nations being against nation and all the rest, earthquakes in diverse places and so on. And he says all these are the beginning of sorrows. Even prior to the tribulation, this will mount up. It'll mount up as a woman in travail. It's in Mark 13 and Luke chapter 21. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know. As a matter of fact, if you go to Acts 1:7, I'll have a point here sooner or later. Just got to keep on following me, okay? Just don't lose it. I'll get there. Acts 1:7, it says this, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons. Okay? That's what it says there. Is that, does your Bible say the same thing? Which the Father hath put in his own power. Because they asked him, when they therefore were come together, in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou now at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said, don't worry about it, basically, I guess. You know, it's not for you. It's not for us. So many people, I'm taking you here, and I don't mind telling you about what is in the future here, in the future times. I just don't want you to stay in the future because you're in your season on earth now. There's nothing wrong with studying prophecy and all the rest of it. Yet, if it in any way distracts, if you use it to enhance your current status and the time that you're living, great. But you can't go there yet. We're not there. We're here right now in this season of our life. And God put us here. So please, we don't know the time or the season. Stay in the present. In 2 Thessalonians, now, that's in those T books if you're trying to memorize your books. 1 and 2 Timothy. You know, 1 and 2 Thessalonians first, then 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus. Whoops, I went too far. That 2 Thessalonians doesn't take much to get past it, does it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and verses actually 1 through 12, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or by word or by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that the Son of Man, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And it's so contrary. But remember ye not that when I was with you, yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of truth, that they might be saved. And so it even tells them, and during this time, that God is going to send a strong delusion. I guess I'm reading that portion because there's going to be a great falling away. Now, when it speaks of a falling away, I think in the context here, I take it that it's going to be amongst professors and believers in God. Because we already know that the lost world isn't seeking God. You do understand that. So where's the falling away? And so there's going to come a time in the future that they will not endure sound doctrine, that the things that are held and cherished by us are going to be evil spoken of if you go back into your Gospels. There is that time that is coming. There isn't this great revival coming, and it's not that we're going to herald in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because the earth is so great. It is not. That is not what the Scripture teaches. It teaches that there's going to be a day that this is going to wax worse and worse, and it's going to go to that, and there's going to be a great delusion, and there's going to be this taken away. There's going to be a falling away. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4, go there with me, and just a page over, I believe, and 15 through 18, it says this: "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which sleep." Which are asleep. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." There's going to be a taking away. Okay? There is going to be this time that is going to come in the future. And believe me, you can get in disagreements and all these other stuff about when this is and all these other things. I don't want to go there tonight, okay? The church, we believe that in a pre-tribulation taking away, that's called rapture. And we believe in a premillennial reign of Christ. And that's what we do. But you'll notice out there that there's all these different belief systems, right? But the whole point is that there is going to be a taken away. And we're not going to prevent them which are asleep in the Lord. And we're going to be caught up into the air with the Lord. Matter of fact, when he ascended up, the angels said he's going to descend in like manner. And that's an interesting concept if you want to study that out. Did you know that in the future there's going to be a great marriage? There is. There's going to be a great marriage, really. And it's in Revelation 19. And if you would go to Revelation 19, I'm pretty sure it's verses 7 through. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings," excuse me, "of God." There's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, because this is a pause in the 7777, right? There's all this discussion of exactly when this is going to be. I don't know when it's exactly going to be, but I know that there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. I personally believe that it's going to last seven years. And that ought to clue you in some of my theology. But anyways, the thing is that we're going to be, we, the saints, the bride of Christ, is going to be adorned, and there's going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is another marriage that is going to happen, a reuniting of God with Israel. That's even future onto there. But since I'm talking to the saints here, I'm going to just mention that. But it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it's going to be a great time. Because if you know the tradition of it, and how they displayed it and what they did during that time, that will be united with Christ in the marriage supper. And the bride is going to be adorned, and it's the righteousness. We're going to be all clothed in white linen. And it'll be, so there's a great marriage there. Marriages are fun times, aren't they? Yeah, they are. They're a great time. But that isn't where we're at now, is it? But this will be in the future. And then Revelation 20, verse 4 through 6, it says this: And I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither were received the mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is out there, even beyond that, what we understand is going to be the millennial reign of Christ, where he is going to rule from Jerusalem in righteousness and with proper judgment all the way. I am so disheartened by the world's leadership. I am. I have to tell you this. And believe me, I don't care what political basis you're on. I'm so disheartened in it, because there's such atrocities going on in this world that we have the power to stop, and yet it's not being stopped. And I just, say, even so, come Lord Jesus, because then it'll all be dealt with right. But I do, I have great empathy. It saddens me when I hear of the genocides going on throughout the world, and we do have the political, we don't have the political will to do anything, but we could. It could happen. And believe me, the answer isn't in the United Nations. I don't want to go there. Yet after the millennial reign of Christ, it also speaks, there is times coming, and I say times, there's going to be times of judgment. There's times of judgment. As saints, we don't get judged for our sin. We get judged for our works, what we did in the seasons that we had. And I have to say, I'm going to take you there in 1 Corinthians 3, because we were there this morning for a while, or we were recently. 1 Corinthians 3. But it does say this, and I hope that your Bible reads the same. For it is hath... I'm in chapter 1, got to get there. Okay. In verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay, but then that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work. Did that say every man's? Yeah, it does. Now you say, well, that means just the men. No, I'm sorry, it means every one of us. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And there's, I think it's 7 or 8 times that it's mentioned in Scripture about a reward. There is a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And then it talks about, know ye not that your body is the temple of the living God? And so it goes on. So there's a judgment out there of the saints. And then in 1 Peter, I wanted to just take you 1 Peter 4, 5, and hopefully I didn't, I noticed that I, 1 Peter, oh, that's 1 Peter 4, 5. Wherein, this is verse 4, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge what? The quick and the dead. That's those alive and those that are dead. There is judgment that is out there. And I want to have you understand that, because sooner or later when I get to my point, you'll understand what this is all about. There is a judgment. The saints are going to be, our works are going to be judged. And I've mentioned it to you before. I honestly will confess to you that several times in my early Christianity that I did works to be seen of men and not for the glory of God. And you know what will happen with those works? They'll be burnt up. They won't try. It won't come out on the other side of the fire. And I take that. It was a lesson learned. It was a good lesson. I'm thankful for it. But the thing is that it won't abide. And so there is that time. And then there's other judgments here. In Revelation chapter 20, we were real close there. Did you keep your hand in Revelation? You'll be there. In Revelation chapter 20, in verses 12 through 15, remember where we are in time, okay? Because there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, death and hell, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And if you don't know the scene there, they are going to confess that Lord Jesus is Lord. And then the angels are going to take them and cast them into the lake of fire. Because this way that this is, the time that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ is when you're alive. This is not the time. There's no repentance at this time. There's no more changing. All of that was in a time here that we are currently in. But there is a time when he comes back as Lord of Lords and rules. And after even the millennium, that a great judgment is going to be there. A lot of people think that there's no tears in heaven, but that's not true. I understand the song. But that is for a time that is about ready to happen. It's after this judgment that's there. And a lot of times in our fanciful way of thinking things, almost politically correct, we don't understand that the Lord has said that there is a time. Now this is my theology, and you can take it or you can believe it, whatever. I believe I'm going to be witnessing this. Because the fact is that where do the tears come from? It's not God crying. It's the people that are alive still that are weeping over this situation. And so there's this time that we're going to see, and this is going to be happening right before us. Now, the reason that I believe that God wipes away all tears is because I don't believe we can fully appreciate heaven until that's done and things are changed. So we have this Revelation chapter 20, and there's this great judgment that is there. Now, I'm going to take you, I'd like somebody to help me. Pastor Klein, if you would look up Isaiah 25:8. Yeah, you got your Bible right there. Revelation 7:17, and then I'll read Revelation 21:4, okay? Because there is something that is going to happen there. And you say, well, I'm not interested. I'm so busy in the here and now, I don't care what you say. I'd rather be fishing anyways. I want to encourage you. Serve the Lord when you can and how you can in your season. And so Isaiah 25:8.
He will swallow up death in victory.
Amen.
And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it.
Amen. Amen. Swallowed up in victory, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, but anyways. And so, anybody? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yep.
For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen. Amen. And in that context, these are all future events. And then in Revelation 21, in verse 4, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And the passed away is the same with the gifts of the Spirit. It means to be rendered idle or useless. In other words, it doesn't apply. And so there's this time of judgment. There's a time that the tears are going to be wiped away. But that isn't right now. The pastor mentioned this morning, he that goeth forth, right? And weepeth. And so he says that there'll be no more tears. There's going to be a new heaven. According to Revelation 21:1, it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." That God is going to remake the earth and heaven. All is going to be done and made new. Did you know that the people that were on the old earth that didn't go into rebellion, they are going to be the inhabitants of that new earth? Not us. We're in the New Jerusalem. Okay? We're in the New Jerusalem where there's no light and no need of light because day or night, because the Lord's there and He's the light thereof. And we're going to be there. But those inhabitants are going to be there on the earth. They are the ones that didn't follow after the adversary. They didn't go into rebellion after the 1,000 years and the devil was let loose. And they are going to be the inhabitants of this earth. And did you know that the earth and the people after that will not know sin? As a matter of fact, it tells us that what we're going to be doing there, we're going to be telling people of our testimony, and that we're going to tell them that we were sinners and that the Lord God saved us unto His glory. We're going to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ by testifying that He saved us from a life of sin. But these people on this new heaven and new earth, they're not going to know sin. What a difference that'll be. Even though the millennium reign is very prosperous and everything, the new heaven and the new earth, it's way steps light years better than that. Did you know that there's a time for rest? And if you would, go to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll make a context with this and speak of it. But in Hebrews 4, verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we, which have believed, do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." An interesting portion of scripture, one that I can't deliberate on right now. "For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this way wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore that it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Now, there's a lot said there, but I took it when I was reading that, and how I'd like to apply it just for you today is that there is a rest for the people of God. As a matter of fact, we are resting, you are resting from your works for salvation. You don't have to work for your salvation anymore. You are not working out your salvation in the sense that you're gaining it through your works. You are working out your salvation because you are saved. But you have entered into the rest of your works. You don't have to work for your salvation. It is by faith through grace. Or by grace through faith, right? Got that backwards. And so, we have a rest in our works. We don't work for our salvation. But then, I wanted to I'm just going to say it. I believe it's Matthew 11, 29 through 30, so go there. We also, in our works, he tells us that we are not to, well, I'll read it. He says it better than me. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 through 30. He says what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, for salvation and even for your everyday life, there is rest when you're trusting and believing what the Lord has done for you and that you're saved. It isn't a time of rigor. It's a time that we're resting in Him and trusting and empowered by Him. There's a time on earth, according to Isaiah 11:7 and others, and I'm not going to go there, that even time is not relative. See, after the millennium and after the new heavens and new earth, and that's why the song, when we've been there 10,000 years, because time will not even be relative. And that's all waiting for us. It'll be a very exciting time. I mean, to see all of this coming about and knowing that this is out there for us. And even if it happened right starting today, it would be an exciting time. We know what's in the future. We know what's there. Those are the promises of God for them that are robed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be part of a marriage. We're going to have a celebration. There's going to be this communion out there and this oneness. And we're going to be inhabitants of the New Jerusalem. Do you understand that the New Jerusalem is going to descend out of heaven like a bride adorned? And that's going to, it's going to light on the earth, and we'll live there forever. And you say, well, what are we going to do? I don't have a clue. There is some clues in the scripture what we're going to be doing, but it's going to be pretty amazing. That's all that I know. And nothing unrighteous or unholy or sin is even going to enter into our mind. Can you imagine that? Not even the thought will be there. Pretty good, huh? Okay. But that's not where we are. We're here. We're now. We're in this season. God knew we were going to be here in this season amongst the people that is not going to listen, that is hard and dull of hearing, that want to go the way of the world and all the rest of it. He knew that, yet He saved us, our soul. He knew we were going to be here. Did you know He knew you were going to be saved before the foundation of the world? He knew when you were going to be saved. He knew what was going to happen. He knew all of those things. And this is our season now. And so when we serve the Lord in our time frame, in our seasons of life, you have to understand that all that blessedness is out there for those that are robed in righteousness. It is. And we are part of the first resurrection. We are part of the bride. But we're not there yet. We have to get focused, not so focused in the future. I mean, let it encourage you, but not so focused on the future that we forget about the now. The pastor mentioned it this morning, did he not? And we have to keep on saying, and I am just sometimes as frustrated as any of you trying to get the gospel to some people. You know, it's like, you know. And yet, His preaching, it provokes, doesn't it? We got to stay with the program. You that are at work, you got to do a good job at work because it's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the pastor, he's going to do what he does, and he's going to do the best job that he can for a witness for the Lord. Ladies, you're going to do the best job that you can in your season because it's a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us, through through the mouth, through testifying, and our lifestyle, we got to stay with it and not get defeated. If anybody should be defeated, I believe that if I was in Corinth, I would have just wanted to wring their neck. But Paul said he loved them possibly more than any of the churches. And he so desired to see them follow after. And there's been saints like that, and we need to be like that for our generation. Because, see, one day there is going to be a judgment. And one day those souls that have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be cast in the lake of fire. But there's a higher reason even than that. Every soul that is saved brings glory to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it brings him honor and glory. God will even receive glory through the judgment. But every soul that's saved, it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to share that with people. And we need to not give up. And I understand all the temptations there. I do. And I even empathize with them. But yet, our time is now. And we need to serve the Lord. As we stand together, please.